You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
One thing you've got to know about our church is, if you're new, is that we just love the Word of God. We love it, right? Me and them and Charlie. We love the Word of God, right? Come on now, some of you are still Facebooking, so I'll give you a pass. And we believe it. We believe what it says. We believe it holds amazing power to change lives. And that the more you read it and the more you understand it, the better equipped you'll be to live a blessed life and be a blessing to your community. Amen? So our Old School Jesus sermon series is taking a look into the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is the part of the Bible before Jesus came. It's really quite simple. It's how we used to live before Jesus came. It's how we would live now if Jesus hadn't come, all right? It's how sin was dealt with before Jesus. It's how it would be dealt with now if Jesus hadn't come. So the Old Testament's before Jesus, the New Testament, praise the Lord, is after Jesus, and we live in that, praise God. But the Old Testament is full of these great stories about the grace and hope and kindness of our Savior Jesus. It shows us some pictures. It's like some hidden little stories in there, some little clues for Old Testament people about what the coming Messiah would be like. Because one thing we know is that Jesus wasn't an accident, just like you aren't either. One thing we know is Jesus wasn't God's B plan, backup plan, but God had a plan, right? And so the whole time he knew what he was going to do. And so from the very beginning, there's things in the Old Testament called types and shadows of Jesus Christ. And they are pictures and hints for Old Testament people to understand what Jesus would be like. And that's good news for us, amen? So now we know Jesus, we've seen Jesus, and we can say, see, all that was true. All that came true. So if you've got your Bible or your Bible phone or your Bible pad or whatever it is, hold it in your hand and would you say this with me? Are you ready? This is my Bible. Come on, say it with me, not after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I believe God is who He says He is. I believe I am who it says I am. I believe God can do what it says He can do. I believe I can do what it says I can do. I love my Bible. I love my God. And I love my life. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. See, I love my life because I got a Bible in it. Right? Come on now. If I didn't have a Bible in my life, I wouldn't love my life. But praise God. Man, it's good to be in church today. I feel something going on here. I feel like the fire of God's in here. Amen? I feel like there's some people in here who love the Lord and they've been chasing after Him. No wonder it says in Scripture that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. So I can feel that going on in here, can you? Yeah, praise God. Father, I pray today that Your people would know that You're great, good, kind, and that You are love. I pray You speak through me and through Your Word today. Change us, restore us, heal us. And we pray today that as Your Word is preached, our lives would be changed forever. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I ought to get to preaching then, eh? Have you ever needed somewhere to run? Like, ever needed to run away? Like, I'm not just talking about when, like, you told your parents you hate them and said, I'm leaving, right? I did that. I grew up in a family with a stepmom. And by the way, my stepmom, a wonderful woman, and I thank God for her every day. But the problem with being in a family like that is there's another option. So I used to threaten my dad with that every now and again. Oh, I never had the guts to pull it off. I ran away from home one day, and that was sitting in the backyard in the sand pit trying to hide. I didn't get very far. I was kind of afraid of the big bad world. But when I was 12, I did need somewhere to run. See, I lived in a little town called Tatura. And in this town, there was just one block, all right? One block of units and houses. And that one block was where a whole bunch of people from another area of the world, that they were living there. And I'd been convinced by other kids at school that if you mess with them people from that area of town, they'd straight up behead me. I'm like, I'm going to mess with my head, those kids. They were freaking me out. And that was quite a problem because I had to ride past that block every day. And I happened to like my head right where it was. So one day after youth group, I was at youth group. I think we called it intensity at the time. I'm not sure. Impact. After impact youth one night, I'm riding home. And I had my Discman. Anyone have a Discman? Come on, hands up if you had a Discman. Yeah? With anti-shock. You're the rich kid if you had anti-shock, right? And the more anti-shock you had, the cooler you were. Like the more beatings you could take without skipping a beat, right? It's fantastic. I had 30 seconds anti-shock. It was fantastic. Like, I know, right? Man, we had some money, right? No, not really. And so I had my anti-shock, and I'm coming home from youth group. I was probably just being encouraged. I can't remember what it was, but I assume it was along the lines of, taught to be kind, tell the truth, maybe not passing judgment on people. Might have been stuff like that that I just heard at youth group. But I had my anti-shock dishman going. I was listening to some DC talk or something like that. Maybe I saw a man with a tat on his big fat belly and it wiggled around like marmalade jelly, and it took me a while to catch what it said because I had to match the rhythm of his belly with my head. Jesus saves is what it read in a typical tattoo green. Come on now, right? Come on, give DC talk a hand, right? That's right. Or maybe I was just distracted singing that song like that. But I was riding no hands because I was a cool kid with my Discman. No hands, Discman clipped on my belt. No hands, like trying to hum a bird or something, you know, I'm trying to fly. And before I knew it, smash! I ran into a car. A park car. Plowed right into the side of this real fancy car that was parked on a 45 degree angle, and I made a mess out of it. The car, that is. I made a big, fat mess out of that car. And after a few moments, I gathered together my thoughts and my body. No broken bones, just scrapes and pain and, I guess, shame. And I looked up, and to my absolute horror, I'd smashed into the side of one of those people's cars. The people I'd never met, but I'd heard they'd behead kids if you mess with them. I'd smashed into the side of one of their cars in that block right there where it's dangerous in this town of 1,800 people. You better believe I was scared. But like a man, I stood up, I looked around, examined the huge dent in the side of this car, very nice car, and I did what any self-respecting young man in my position would do, and I got the heck out of Dodge. I got on my bike so quick, I pedaled my heart out so hard, I rode and I rode and I rode until I got to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And I got in there so darn quick, you'd thought I was the Flash. I was safe. Of course, I didn't tell Grandma and Grandpa what I had just done, because they'd have dragged me back there to apologize. They'd have made me pay for it and give me a lecture about judging people I don't even know. But anyway, I was convinced that by not telling them, I was actually saving his life too, because he'd have been there with me when these people mess us up. If you ever needed a place to run, right? Mine was Grandma and Grandpa's house. Thank the Lord for that. If you ever needed somewhere to run, come on, have you ever needed somewhere to hide? Never needed a safe place to be? Yeah? Well, I want to show you a story today about a thing called cities of refuge. See, the Old Testament, this is a type of Christ, a shadow of Christ. It talks about cities of refuge. In fact, we got Pastor Jed up on the screen. He's going to read that to us right now. So listen up.
I'll be reading from Numbers 35, 9 through 34. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person without intent may flee there. The cities shall be for you a refuge from the avenger, and the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation for judgment. And the cities that you give shall be your cities of refuge. You shall give three cities beyond the Jordan, three cities in the land of Canaan to be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be for refuge for the people of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills any person without intent may flee there. But if he struck him down with an iron object so that he died, he's a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. And if he struck him down with a stone tool that could cause death and he died, he's a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. Or if he struck him down with a wooden tool that could cause death and he died, he's a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. The avenger of blood shall himself put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. And if he pushed him out or hatred, or hurled something at him, lying in wait so that he died, or in enmity struck him down with his hand so that he died, then he who struck the blow shall be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. But if he pushed him suddenly without enmity, or hurled anything on him without lying in wait, or used a stone that could cause death, and without seeing him dropped it on him so that he died, though he was not his enemy and did not seek his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood in accordance with these rules. And the congregation shall rescue the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to his city of refuge to which he'd fled. And he shall live in it until the death of the high priest who is anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer shall at any time go beyond the boundaries of his city of refuge to which he fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the boundaries of his cities of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, for he must remain in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. And these things shall be for a statute and rule for you throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the evidence of witness. But no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Moreover, you shall accept no ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall be put to death. And you shall accept no ransom for him who has fled to his city of refuge, that he may return to dwell in the land before the death of the high priest. You shall not pollute the land in which you live, for blood pollutes the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed in it, except by the blood of the one who shed it. You shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell in the midst of the people of Israel.
Someone had a great idea that over summer, while we're reading these scriptures on the screen, that we should get a kid to read, and I'm just waiting for one that's okay for a kid to read. I'm like, the Old Testament, man, it's just kind of crazy in there, isn't it? Unreal. And you read stories like that, and you're like, what the heck is going on with those people, right? You see, there was the right to avenge. Some of you want that, don't you? Some of y'all want to do that. You know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, but you say vengeance is mine, says me, right? Some of you want this job. You know, a few months ago, we talked about the kinsman redeemer. I don't know if you remember that, but we talked about the kinsman redeemer. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and also for Naomi. And Boaz, as the kinsman redeemer, he's also the avenger of blood. And he has the right to go and kill the person who killed his family member. He's the avenger. He's the redeemer. He has them. So if you accidentally killed someone, whether it was in anger or simply a totally unintended mistake, the avenger could kill you. Do you remember the story? Amazing, isn't it? That means that he gets to chase you down. He gets to end you. It's a good point, actually, to remember that the New Testament, Jesus talks to us about how we should live and says that even hating someone is murder, right? That even hating someone is murder, and we shouldn't do that. But in the Old Testament, that murdering someone, that the avenger of blood could come and destroy you, could end you. This dude could chase you, hunt you, kill you. But if you had these six cities of refuge that you could flee to, these cities of refuge, these cities of sanctuary, these cities that if you could get inside, the avenger can't get to you. Imagine you've just had an argument with someone. The other guy pushed you. And there's not many dudes that can take a push without giving a good push back, right? So this dude pushes you. You push him back, and you didn't mean it, but he tripped and smacked his head, and now he's dead. And you know immediately that his relative, who's maybe 30 feet away, darn it, has the legal right to kill you. So what do? Get out of Dodge. You gotta run, baby, run. So you run. As fast as you can. You're running, running, running. Come on, picture yourself. You're running, running, running. You're running out of breath. You're tired. You're dodging arrows and spears and Hebrew cuss words. As fast as you can, you're getting out of there. Luckily, you can see one of the cities of refuge over the horizon. And in the distance, you think to yourself, I could get there, I can get there, but this guy's hot on my tail. Sometimes these avengers of blood would even pay a bounty hunter to hunt you down and bring you back so they can avenge you. So you can't trust anybody outside that city. So you're running and you yell out, open the gate, save me, save me. So they open the gates and you're running, you're running, you're running. And like what would happen in any good movie, you just get through the gate closes, an arrow hits the gate. Because that's how it happens, right? In every good movie, right? And you're safe. You made it in the gate. That feeling comes over you, I've made it. I've made it, I'm safe. And see, here's the good news. See, Scripture shows us that Jesus is our city of refuge. See, Scripture shows us that Jesus is our safe place, our city of sanctuary, our city of refuge, our city of safety, our city that we go and the avenger can't get us. Jesus Christ is our safe place. Come on, someone give me a glory to God. Amen. Come on, hallelujah. It's good stuff. Is that good stuff? Amen. See, like Pastor Ed said last week, Jesus is even better than the types and shadows of Christ that we find in the Old Testament. He's the anti-type, which means better than. He's better than the types. He's better than the shadows of Christ. He fulfills all of the aspects of all of the types and shadows all at once. He's better than a city of refuge, because a city of refuge, you could go if you were guilty of manslaying but not murder. See, in the city of refuge, if you accidentally killed someone, you could go to the city of refuge. But with Jesus Christ, he's a city of refuge where even if you did it on purpose, you've got a safe place in his house. Amen. Under the wings of Jesus Christ, you have safety. Come on, can someone say amen? So what does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? Well, Psalms tells us that for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. So you can find safekeeping and refuge by calling on the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to call out, hold the gate open. There's no risk of the gate closing. You don't need to worry about if someone's at the tower at your moment of need that you've got to run through the gate. Hopefully they see me. Hopefully they hear me. Jesus is your safe place. Jesus is your city of sanctuary. Jesus is your city of refuge. And all you got to do is call out on the name of Jesus and you find refuge, you find safety, you find forgiveness, remission of all your sins in Jesus' name. No matter what you've done, with or without intent, you find safe harbor, you find safety and refuge in Jesus Christ. You don't need to defend yourself anymore. He is your defense. You don't have to fight the fight because he's your protector. You don't have to answer to the eternal punishment anymore because he is your scapegoat, like we heard 2 weeks ago, amen? He's the scapegoat. You don't have to worry about him turning his face away from you because now nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. Come on, someone give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, someone give the Lord a clap offering. Come on, somebody do something and say, thank you, Jesus, my scapegoat, my city of refuge, my city of sanctuary. Amen. Come on. I'm a little fired up. You know something else that's really cool that I discovered? See, as I was preparing this message, the Lord showed me something fascinating. Something that blew my mind. And I'll get there in a moment, but I want to set it up. But anyone married in here, you find you kind of start to do some of the things that your wife or that your husband does? See, my wife has finally realized that chips make tuna mornay better than ever. Better than ever. And she loves it. You don't even know what tuna mornay is? Tuna casserole. Peas, corn, tuna, pasta, cheese, corn, pasta, cheese, 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 more cheese. A little more cheese again. And then you put chips on top of that, like plain chips. Yeah. Come on, it's amazing. She's becoming a bit like me. And it suits her. But when you get married, you start to act like the other person, don't you? Kind of talk like them a little bit. You know, if they got a southern drawl, you start to have a southern drawl, you know? Someone told me the other week that if you open your mouth real wide, you sound southern. I'm like, hey, that works. Fantastic. You start to act like your spouse. You start to take on some of the characteristics of your spouse. Well, here's the thing. Jesus is the bridegroom. See, Scripture talks about how we are the bride and Jesus is the groom. Now, if you're new and you've never been to church before, don't freak out. It's not something sexual type thing, anything like that. It's just talking about the characteristics of the relationship between us and Jesus Christ. It is kind of like the relationship between a husband and a wife. The security, the warmth, the love, the devotion, the trust and the protection, the willingness to die for one another. And like us, we become more like Christ the more we spend time with Him. Amen? So the Lord started to show me something really brilliant about this, because we're the bride of Christ. He's the bride. He's the city of refuge, right? So what does that mean for Des Moines? What does that mean for Winneset and Adel and Dallas Center and Norwalk and Carlisle and Ankeny and Ames and all these surroundings? What does that mean for all of the community that surrounds us? You see, the church by Jesus Christ is described as a city. Isn't that interesting? He describes us as a city on a hill. Now, what's the deal with a city on a hill? Well, a city on a hill is a safe place. See, they got a light in it. He talks about how a city on a hill with a light so people can see it from afar. Because we're a safe place, amen? See, we're supposed to be like Him. We become like Him. We become like the one that we spend the time with. So when people need help, they should know that the place they ought to run is the church of Jesus Christ, amen? Come on, they ought to know that. They ought to know that if I run to the people of God, the bride of Christ, that they're going to be just like Him, and I can find sanctuary, and I can find safety, and I can find refuge in that place in Jesus' name. If you're as excited about this as I am, somebody say amen. I'm excited about that. So when someone loses a loved one, we are where they ought to run. Amen. When someone screws up their life, this ought to be where they run, amen? When someone's marriage falls apart, we're where they ought to run. When someone's got no food, this ought to be where they run. When someone's sick, they ought to run straight into the building, straight into the community, straight into the arms of the church. When someone cheats on their spouse, when they mess up their own life, this is where they ought to run. Can I get an amen? Even the guilty party, we are where they should run. No matter what they've done, no matter what intent they had or did not have, Jesus Christ is better than the city of refuge, because He has refuge for all, amen? Because sin no longer separates us from God, because His love covers a multitude of sins. Praise God. This is good news. Can I have the band come back up here? So why should they run here? Why should the community run here? Why should people who look on the outside like they've made it, like everything's working, but have this deep sense of lack and sorrow in their hearts, where should they run? Where should they run? Right here, amen. Why should people who look messed up on the outside and they're as messed up on the inside, why should they run here? Why should they run here? It's because Jesus says that we are like a city on a hill. A place that you can see from afar and know I will find refuge in that place. A place that's talked about. A place that's known among the people of the land. See, we are that place. And when they get here, we'll all be ready to give them a reason for the hope that we have. See, I know we got to go out there and we got to love people and we got to get people and we got to witness to people and we got to share with people and we got to give a reason for the hope that we have. But we should also be a place where they just know that if they get here, that if they get here, that they're gonna find hope, that they're gonna find refuge, that they're gonna find joy in Jesus' name. We have hope because Jesus Christ came into our lives with an irresistible grace. When we ran, He ran after us. We saw in the story of Hosea. When we destroyed our lives, He rebuilt them just because He loves us. When we deserved to be punished, He took the lashings and He made us brand new. And in that city of refuge, He's making all things new. Amen. In that city of sanctuary, He's making all things new. We aren't judged by our past anymore, but we're seen as what we were created to be. We're set free, we're rebuilt, we're brand new. And that is what will happen to every person who walks through the doors to this city on the hill. They'll find refuge in Jesus Christ. But that's also the refuge that He offers to you today, to each and every one of you. He's better than that. He's better than. He's better than Hosea and Gomer. He's better than the brazen serpent. He's better than the scapegoat. He's better than a city on a hill. Amen. He's your Savior. Come on, stand up, church. Stand up and give the Lord 30 seconds of praise if you love Him. Come on, stand up and give Him 30 seconds of praise if you're thankful, if you're grateful.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.